Now, prior to a billion years ago, all of the life on Earth we had consisted of single-celled organisms. And then something happened to trigger squads of these cells to team up together to produce the first multicellular organisms, a bit like our bodies. And this was a watershed moment for evolution of life on Earth. Now, researchers at the University of Minnesota have managed to make yeast cells do something similar. But in this case, it didn't take them billions of years. It took them 60 days. And with us to explain what he's found is Michael Travisano. So how did you do this experiment?
The experiment was pretty simple. We just grew yeast as we normally do in the lab, shaking. And then every day we let them sit on the bench and we had a race to the bottom. And whatever yeast got to the bottom first, we took those and started the culture again. And we did this for 60 days, every day doing this race to the bottom. And unlike Galileo's experiment, where it doesn't matter how heavy you are, for the yeast cells, the bigger, heavier ones get to the bottom first. And so by using this mechanism of selection, we were able to select for things that were big to get to the bottom.
So there's a strong selective pressure for bigger cells, but why does that translate also into clumps of cells, cells linking together?
There's two ways that the yeast could get bigger. One, they could just get a bigger cell, and we did see some cells get quite large. But it's much easier physiologically and via adaptation to just have your daughter cells stay attached to you when you reproduce. And so we'd end up with clusters of daughter cells attached to their daughter cells, attached to their daughter cells, and whole big family groups getting to the bottom very, very quickly.
And what was the relationships between these cells? Were they literally just sticking together, or did they really begin to behave as though they were a family of cells where one cell did one job and another cell next door to it relied on it to do that job and did a complementary job?
Well, originally they all did more or less the same thing, that the whole family group got to the bottom at the same rate as each other, and that was the big selective benefit. But as we ran the experiment along, we observed that a small fraction, about 5%, would go through a kind of cellular suicide, and that suicide promoted the kind of adaptation of the whole group. It allowed the group to reproduce faster, so we began to see some differentiation as we ran the experiment through.
Have you interrogated the cells to see in what way they were changing to enable them to do these different jobs? How was it arising?
Mostly we made videos, to be honest, and we watched the behavior of the groups as they grew in our culture, and we could see how the reproduction was happening, that the number of cells in one of these multicellular individuals would increase, and then it would cause a pressure and a daughter clump would break off. And we were able to identify that the targets, the cells that were the most likely to allow for that breaking off were the ones that were dying. That was the mechanism that we did the most interrogation by.
The thing is, if I look at my own body, there are bits of me which, if other bits of me don't work, those bits are inviable. So if you took your clumps of yeast cells and broke them up, would the cells then lose viability because they didn't have their neighbour to sustain some function that they themselves were now deficient in? A bit like if I took one of my organs, it can't survive without the blood supply provided by a blood vessel and so on.
Right, right. So these are very simple multicellular organisms, and so they're much simpler than us. With very simple other extant natural multicellular organisms, if you break them up, you can often recover the whole individual from a single cell, and you can even do this in the lab with plants. And like those natural experiments, we can do the same thing. If we break them up into individual cells, except for the dead ones don't do anything, then we'll recover the entire multicellular individual.
And just to finish us off, what do you think this tells us about how the process probably did happen back in evolutionary time?
I think it tells us that you can very simply evolve multicellular organisms just by a very slight change in the relationship between a unicellular reproductive event, that just by not letting your daughter or your granddaughters and so on kind of go off, but by sticking together, by having a cooperative strategy, that you can evolve multicellularity readily.
Michael, thank you very much. That's Professor Michael Travisano. He's from the University of Minnesota, and you can read the work he was talking about, published this week in the journal PNAS.